right, and welcome to a special edition, sort of special edition of the Streaky the Lone podcast. To Homer back. My name's Pierce. We're going to talk about basketball. We're not talking about football today. I've got Caroline with me. How's it going, Caroline?
Hey, it's good.
Oh, good. And Matt?
I'm still here.
Excellent. I assume you're doing well as well. We have nothing to discuss with the football game in the past couple of weeks. It's been disappointing. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. And now Caroline can't tell us that they're going to make a bowl game anymore.
That's true. I'm no longer. I'm not even going to get on that. Well, maybe 5-7.
5-7.
Actually, I mean, if they rattled off like a 3-game winning streak, I think we'd all be like
at Tech Defenders. Oh. Sanders, I think there might be people looking for someone to go to Shreveport.
Yeah, never gonna happen.
Destination
okay, but much more excitingly, basketball season's almost upon us. Game's Friday on the road against UNC Greensboro. Someone want to explain to me why that's the case? What's the backstory behind that?
I don't know. I think every once in a while, Coach Bennett does that. I mean, we were at JMU 2 years ago, so I think he was kind of, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think he really cares for whatever on the road, at home. I think it alternates. He's close to it.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you for basketball season, Caroline?
I am at a 10.
What?
I can't wait. I know. Well, you asked excited, and I'm very excited.
Yeah, but now you don't have any other room to get more excited.
It's a pretty steady state of excitement for anyone's
excitement.
So, like, I grew up in an ACC household. Both my parents went to an ACC school. My grandfather did business school at an ACC school. My mom grew up in the Triangle area in North Carolina. Like, I didn't know that there was basketball outside of the ACC. Like, for me, it was always going to be an ACC school. Like, I know that's weird. Like, it's just how it was. Like, my mom broke her ankle celebrating an NC State basket. And, like, I forget which game it was. But, like, they didn't go to the hospital until after the game because they had the neighbor come over who's a nurse. She's, like, she's good for now. Like, she's fine. Like, she was okay. They just had to go and, you know, see a doctor after. And the doc was like, there was nobody here during the game. And they're like, yeah, that's how it goes. So, like, I've always been excited. Like, I've always loved basketball season. And having a team to be excited about obviously makes that more fun. So now I'm excited to see what happens. It's basketball season!
Yeah, I'm stoked as well. I say all the time basketball is my favorite. So, and we're good, which helps. Matt, how excited are you?
I think I'm a 9. That's the number of letters needed to spell Evan Nolte. I miss him, and his absence is the only thing keeping this from a 10.
Yeah, all right. Well, does that mean that there is room to get there other than him re-enrolling?
I would settle for him just like as a grad assistant or a halftime show or a guest.
What if he joins Red Panda? I think we're on to something, Matt.
Yeah, I'm in.
Like, he can hand her the bowls. You know what I mean? Like, someone hands her the bowls. That'd be pretty good. Anyway.
That's true. Matt, do you have any family medical history anecdotes to share?
No, I mean, I'm pretty sure that they've almost given me a heart attack. Like,
true.
But that's about as close as it gets.
I'm pretty sure I've at least hurt a hand before, like slamming it into something, either in excitement or frustration. Usually by myself, that, like, when I'm with people and something goes wrong, or more importantly, something goes right, I can, like, high five and jump up and hug and things like that. But if I'm watching a game by myself, then it's just like me and the wall. And I gotta celebrate with something.
Have you watched one with the dog yet? Like, or a game with the pup yet?
Oh, yeah.
I've, like, gotten used to sudden outbursts of loud cheering or swear words, because that was definitely fun the first couple times when you watch it. What is happening?
Yeah.
Psycho, and then they stop looking at you and you clap or yell.
He's only been around for basketball for a little bit. So he's seen that. Football, I've been no one who knows me that well is going to believe what's coming out of my mouth right now, but I've been pretty muted or pretty subdued in my reactions to the football team because, you know, they've killed me ages ago. I celebrate all the highs, but I don't get as angry at the television, at the football team.
Yeah. That happened.
Yeah, at least I'd like to think so. But anyway, back to the start of the season. I'm sure everybody listening to this has heard many of the storylines. Lots of newcomers replacing Malcolm, one of the best players in the history of the program, if not the, you know, you can make an argument for, I suppose. But which of the new guys are you all most excited to see? I'll start with Matt.
Are we counting Austin Nichols in this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Obviously I want to see him starting in game two.
Right.
Because I think he's going to be such a key part to how successful this season really turns out to be.
Yeah.
We know we have one consistent scorer in London. And then we know we have guys who will be streaky from game to game in Devin and Mariel and Isaiah and guys like that. But to have a second guy that you can rely on a game in, game out basis, like we had with Anthony and with Malcolm last year is really necessary, and especially in the ACC. And so I think if he can be a consistent force on the block, we can be a really, really good team. But if he struggles a bit, then the ceiling gets a lot lower.
Yeah, I think he definitely got the potential to be the most important player for the team. I know London Piranhas is going to maybe play 40 minutes a game or the entire season. And obviously is the senior leader. And London's a given. And without London, they're not going to be very good either. But I think Austin brings a lot of what Gil had, a lot of what is going to be particularly needed to be replaced in terms of scoring, not just from Gil, but Malcolm and having that threat there. So I think you're right, Matt. I mean, he's going to be invaluable to the team, and hopefully that's a good thing. Hopefully he is invaluable, and that means how much he is contributing. Darns, who are you most excited?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Kyle Guy.
Because of the man bun?
Mostly the man bun, I will say. No, we haven't really had – I was trying to think about the other day, like, who was the last big, like – huge recruit. When was the last like five-star recruit? Like none of the, like obviously we love the guys like Malcolm and Anthony and Darian and Akil and Joe and Justin, like guys that, each time that we, like when we lost Joe and Akil, it's like, I don't know how Virginia is going to replace them. Yeah. Then someone else steps up. Then you lose Justin and Darian. I don't know how they're going to replace them. Someone else steps up.
I think the answer is Sylvan Landisberg too.
Do you think 2008, right? So that, yeah. I mean, it's been a while. Like obviously he was the last McDonald's All-American and Kyle Guy is the first one since. But that obviously doesn't translate to anything necessarily on the court. Like obviously you look at the guys like Kentucky that get all of the Burger Boys and it sometimes translates and sometimes doesn't.
Yeah, but they usually win a few games over there in Kentucky.
Yeah, right. I mean, they might have won a few games over the past few years. Yeah. But getting a guy in, I think that one, his enthusiasm to be at UVA I think that's fun. Like he's all about being a Virginia Cavalier. And I think that's really awesome.
Yeah.
He's already like watching him in the scrimmage a couple weeks ago. Like he's got a nice feel for the offensive game, which is going to be huge. Like we just talked about with Malcolm and all that, like replacing those numbers. Mm-hmm. But he's got a really nice shot in the secret, but not so secret scrimmages or whatever they played and just played VCU. And I've heard contrasting reports and one score might have included the extra quarter they played with the young guys, but I'd heard he scored 21 points against VCU and only missed like two shots. Like that's really good, obviously. Yeah. Like, that's something that it's having a scoring presence like that and a kid that's ready to step out the gate immediately and play is exciting. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the defensive piece is what's going to be dictating time on the court for any of these newcomers. Mm-hmm. And to that point, going back to Austin Nichols, I just want to say where we pick up more, and you will not find a bigger Anthony Gill fan than yours truly.
Oh, where, I know.
Where you pick up from what maybe, so you hope that Austin can replace what Anthony did offensively, but I think that Austin should be way ahead of where Anthony was defensively, with the blocks and the mm-hmm. crazy long arms and the like physical ability that he's going to bring to the defense. So this could, like, there's potential for him to be a first team all mm-hmm. ACC-er. And that's crazy. Like, that's awesome to be able to replace someone, but not yeah. replace, because obviously Anthony's the best. But to have these options, and I think it's going to be a rough go for the first few games defensively, but I think they'll figure it out as they hit the stretch, hopefully, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the rough go first. UNC Greensboro is not very good. It's on the road, so you never know. And they're missing Diakite and Nichols. Then they've got St. Francis Brooklyn, who's not good. And then Yale, who is a tournament team, but Yale is replacing four of their top five scorers from that tournament.
Well, and they just lost, what's his name?
Who?
They just lost Makai
Mason?
Yeah.
Oh, did they? Ooh, that's news to me. Well, yeah, okay, so they're not, yeah. Anyway, they've got some buffer before they play Iowa, who's really the first good team that they play this year, I would say, on the 25th. I will jump onto your point about the defense, and I'll go with Diakite. I think I'm saying that right.
Yes.
Diakite and Mamadi. I'm excited to see for the defensive skills that he brings and that length and bounciness. And, what we saw in the scrimmage, I think he really fits into that piece. That Akil, that Atkins played over the past few years. And, and he's been on the team for so long. I've been looking at him wearing bow ties on the the end of the bench. And I remember, he was a big-time recruit, being a local guy. Well, local in terms of the boarding school he was attending. And mm-hmm. sort of we knew he was coming before it was officially announced for a long time. So there's been a lot of build-up for him. And he would be a much higher recruit had he not come out early to redshirt and instead stayed at Blue Ridge. So I think maybe the national fanfare isn't quite there for him, but you could hold him to the same level of high regard in terms of where he could be ranked.
What's interesting to me too is where I think we lose a little bit on the perimeter defense, a lot on the perimeter defense with losing Malcolm.
Sure.
But the ability to recover for defensive mistakes, I think, is greater than it was mm-hmm. last year mm-hmm. with having guys like Diakite and Isaiah Wilkins, even I'll throw him in there, Austin Nichols, that can recover better than some of our interior defenders. Like Mike Toby was not a big blocker and maybe didn't have the quickest feet defensively, but I think that that's something where they might lose a little bit more on the perimeter, but they'll have better reactionary defense on the interior. So it'll be interesting to see.
I think that's a great point.
Who's your Mamadi poster from 2007 when
there must always be a Mamadi.
There must always be a Mamadi.
that is a great point though, Darns. I think you saw a lot of that back with Akil and with Atkins mm-hmm. when they were both playing, league best defender type shot blocking, or at least getting in the lane and getting in the way and forcing that pass out when
or Justin with those blocks, recovered on so many. That one against Maryland is always one of my favorites, block transition to the three, but also the one against Notre Dame where I just always feel so bad for the unsuspecting deer that's going and all of a sudden here it comes.
Someone didn't watch the film. He did that over in the – I mean, he's done in the NBA now. That's great. Anyway, Matt, when you're looking at the out-of-conference games, let's start with those first. What What matchup do you think is the most like intriguing one to you?
I think it's Cal. Mm-hmm. And I think we'll lose to Cal. If for no other reason than pure karma for the fact that we beat them last year when we
the Jared Reuter coming out party.
Yeah. My God, I thought he was gonna be amazing.
He very well could. I mean, when you talk rotation, and that's certainly been a big part, like, okay, how's Tony going to pare it down to 9 or 10?
Right.
I would not immediately write off Reuter like I think a bunch of people are.
No, I think he gets in the rotation down low. I think he's got great footwork and a great touch on the block that some of the other guys don't.
Oh, he's just a hoss, too.
Yeah. But I think Cal will be interesting because, you know, we play some other good teams. Ohio State doesn't do much for me. West Virginia is always interesting just to see how we handle the press.
Yeah.
We get to play Villanova coming off their national title. Mm. But Cal has both great guard play and great interior defense. I mean, the reason why we struggled with them last year is because we couldn't rebound anything over Ivan Rabb, and he's back. Mm-hmm. And we couldn't get shots over him either. So I think it'll be a really good test to see if we can really run an offense against an elite level team sort of from the inside out with this brand new crop of guys. I think we're going to have to do that a lot when it comes into conference play.
Yeah, absolutely. Darns, what sticks out to you on the out of conference?
Grambling State? No, I'm just kidding. I am going to go. I was actually going to say Cal, but since my esteemed colleague has done
you're
that.
Welcome, you're welcome to just agree with me. And...
No, never. No, I'm just kidding. No, I think Cal will be a game on the road, out in London's territory. And then, of course, to follow it up, starting conference play a week later at Louisville will be a huge back-to-back right there. But I am going to say Villanova. It's a very easy choice or one to pick just because, you know, they won the national championship last year.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's a return game of a game that Virginia – I think that was a very Virginia game last year
where
it was a lot of back and forth. And then down the stretch, they were able to expand a 7-point lead into an 11-point lead and kind of feel pretty comfortable. Obviously, Villanova loses a couple big pieces like Archie Diacono.
And Ochefu.
Ochefu. But they bring back a lot of talent. And it's in the middle of conference play in conference play. I don't know where it really falls in the middle spectrum. And it's sandwiched between a trip to South Bend and home against Virginia Tech in the first Virginia Tech matchup and is in a brutal stretch in the ACC. There's really no like rest unless you consider the finale at home against Pitt. Like that's the easiest game in that stretch, in my opinion, starting with Notre Dame on January 24th, stretching all the way through Pittsburgh at the end. And so to go on the road to Philly to play the reigning national champs that maybe want a little bit of revenge after last year, Virginia was the only team they played that they did not beat, in the sense that teams that they lost to at other points of the season, they were able to rematch and defeat later. So I think I've been talking
about that.
Yeah, I've got a couple of Villanova friends that have mentioned that in a playful way of like, hey, yeah, you guys were the only team we didn't have a chance to beat last year. And I've been trying to make a deal with anyone who will listen that if we lose that on the road, I will happily take the national championship.
Right.
And if that's something we can set up with Villanova, that whoever loses that matchup gets to go on and win the national championship. I think it'll just be a really, really good clash of styles. Plus, anytime you have Tony Bennett and Jay Wright on the court, it's just a fashionable competition.
I think for my answer, I'll go with the Iowa game because it's early. I think Iowa is always a pretty solid team, a physical team, a good defensive team. And because it's still a November game, it's a home game. You know, I think that helps, obviously, the Hoos a lot.
Well, it's in Florida.
Oh, is it? Oh, my bad.
No, it's okay. It says versus, but it's the first game of the Emerald Coast Classic down there. And
oh, well, nice that's a whole nother level
I know, right?
Of UVA's penchant for playing terribly in those tournaments. So not recently, not recently.
Yeah, they won the last three, knock on wood.
But the back in when we were in college, it seemed like they would lose to Prairie View, A&M, and Indiana Tech every time they went to one of those. Anyway, I like the idea of playing that game as sort of a bellwether game, seeing where we are and maybe having the rotation down. Certainly could be one of those ones where we keep going, wait, why are they – What kind of lineup is that? You know.
Oh my gosh! Yes.
Because you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's always been more important for Tony to figure that out and see how his team adjusts and things like that, and get ready for the bigger games later on. So I think that's an intriguing game for sure coming up, not too far down the road. I can't believe it starts in 2 days.
I know, it's insane.
All right. What game would you just quick pen as the most likely loss on the out of conference schedule for the Hoos?
I'm going to go Cal.
Both of you?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going West Virginia, which you mentioned. And I do think Cal is a game that I'm concerned about their ability to get a W in. And I think both could be losses for sure. I think West Virginia is the most likely loss, even with Villanova, because of what Villanova lost. I think West Virginia, on the other hand, returns a lot and adds a real bruiser forward. A guy named, I'm not even going to, Kanate? It might be how you pronounce it.
Yeah, that's definitely it.
Yeah.
Probably it.
But Javon Carter is awesome. And I don't know. I think that's like one of those early December, not trap games, but just one of those sort of swoon games. I think
they're... Joe Harris is gone?
Yeah, but swoon in a bad way.
No.
I don't know. Knowing everything I've said right now, the Hoos will win by 30, and someone will remember this podcast and tweet at me. I think Coach Huggins is always going to be a tough matchup. And we got to get this stupid... beating the press monkey off the back after the game that will not be mentioned.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what your game you're talking about. We didn't finish last season. It just kind of stopped.
which ACC game, Caroline, are you most excited for?
Oh, man. I really don't want to be this cliche, but I got to go Duke at home. I mean... Yeah. They will most likely be number one. They have unbelievable talent in their incoming class.
It's February 15th. We don't know who's going to be number one in the country.
Yeah, it's true. No, you're right.
But you're right.
I'll say top five. I don't see them losing a ton of games with that much talent. I mean, they have a lot of injuries right now. But I'll say top five. My hope is that game will be a top 10 matchup. If it is, anytime you get Virginia and Duke, anytime you get Duke and anyone, because it's ACC, and again, that's how this stuff goes. It's really an injustice to the game for it not to be a game day type scenario.
Yeah.
It's fully on the posters that I wanted to see, but I think those will still come out in force because it's the game after the travel game. You know, everyone knows he traveled, you know, like it wasn't a foul. It was an offensive foul most likely, but I think, you know, there's just so much there and you know, the crowd is going to be hyped and you know that players are going to come out aggressively and it's just going to be a good matchup with a lot of talent. And I think that there's so many to choose from. The other one that I'll say is Syracuse. Sorry, Matt, if I stole yours by taking a second one. Duke was my cliche answer because it's Virginia Duke and it's exciting and it's fun. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I don't know if Syracuse is going to be harder on the players or the fans watching on TV because you know.
Oh, the fans.
All of
for
the
sure.
flashbacks yeah. and the, oh, when they met last and. Just constantly reminding all of us of what happened. We know what happened.
Plus, but we'll have to watch a game from like across a football stadium on television because of the, idiotic way that they have that set up in the TV coverage. It's always annoyed me watching it. The carrier dome seems so far away.
It's crazy in person too, because you can see, like, on TV it does look like an enclosed basketball arena, but like the one side there just is basically the bleachers are sitting in the end zone of a football stadium with like a normal football stadium height, you know, domed roof. So it's just crazy. It's crazy.
It's a dump. That whole town's a dump.
You're the worst, Syracuse. You're the worst.
But yeah, I mean, I had that opinion of that place before last year, but yeah, that's solidified up there.
Those are probably my top two that I want
to tweet at me, Syracuse fans who are listening to this.
Come at me, bro.
All right, Matt, what are you excited for?
Saturday, January 21st, home against Georgia Tech. Austin Nichols revenge game against Josh Pastner. He's going to score 30. Austin Nichols, by the way, might be older than Josh Pastner just by looks. And given Georgia Tech's coach and roster, they might not make it past 20. So I can't
believe they hired that guy.
It's like the opposite of what happened in ACC football last year, where everyone just fired coaches.
Yeah.
Georgia Tech was like, basketball is really hard. Let's not get our hopes up.
Let's not try.
Let's make this easier on our fans. but beyond the Nichols beatdown, I'll go with at Carolina. Cause I think that'll be one of those games where we'll be fighting for, I do think Duke will win the league. I think we'll be fighting for, somewhere in that 2-4 spot for the ACC tournament. And you know, we play them twice in the final five games. We play them twice in 10 days, towards the end of the year. And those could go a long way to figuring out, you know, maybe league contention or maybe just trying to get that double bye for the tournament.
Yeah. Cool. Well, you guys didn't really mention the Virginia Tech games, which, certainly exciting. I think, you know, it's a rivalry that those teams are both going to be good and probably both be good for a while. I think, you know, Buzz Williams really, really has it together. Unfortunately, maybe he'll get hired away in the great carousel of ACC coaches. But I think we do a disservice not bringing up the Pitt game because it's the home finale senior night. And Pitt's probably going to be, you know, a solid team. Maybe not quite the level that they've been very recently. But,
well, and a new coach. It's going to be crazy not seeing
Baby Dixon there. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think it's the game where London Perrantes shows us even more detests for people trying to stop him from scoring the basketball. It's like the level of disrespect that he's able to display sometimes. He should do more. It's always very exciting and entertaining. So maybe we'll see how many three-pointers he feels like shooting in one night.
Well, when I was doing that player profile on London, it was funny because, like, I stayed up way later than I intended to because I kept remembering London highlights that I loved, like things that about the way that he played and games that I completely forgot about. That 26-point game he had at Miami, double overtime one.
Yep.
Like, him and Angel Rodriguez were just going at each other. Yep. Like, it was such good guard play in that game. Like, it was incredible. And then I think of the Pitt game, like, where Malcolm hit the winning shot on the road, where my favorite part of that clip, minus Malcolm with his arms out, backstepping after he made it, is when Jay Williams was calling the game and London's bringing the ball up and you hear Jay go, "He better hurry up." And I'm thinking, like, he's got this. You know, just like the way that, and I agree with you, like, I think more of that personality is going to come out this year because it is his team. And you saw more of that with, like ACC Media Day, like the juggling and the emoji. They did like a whole emoji thing with ESPNU or whatever. Yep. I finally figured out the WWE hashtag WWE that they use, which is what we eating. Like, hey, what are we eating? Like, and it applies to all sorts of stuff. Anyway, I thought that was funny.
But, that reference is totally lost on me. I'm old.
My gosh, it's so good. But I was, in watching all the media day stuff, I was fascinated to see the different, like we have a really diverse team from like where they're from, mm-hmm. From obviously Jack Salt with the New Zealand accent. And you've got, Diakite is from Guinea and he's got mm-hmm. a French accent, which is really, really fun to hear. And then I didn't realize, I should have realized with the Tennessee background and living, you know, going to Memphis that Austin Nichols has, but he has mm-hmm. this super Southern accent mm-hmm. that I was not expecting. It's like a really good twang. but yeah, I think it'll be fun for post game this year because you've got this like great variety of different accents and it makes it very exciting. And like, I just, the Southern accent threw me off completely. I was like, whoa, where'd that come from? Oh yeah. He's from Tennessee. That makes sense. It was awesome.
How many games into conference play do you think Kyle Guy will be just under Grayson Allen in for the rest of the conference's most hated opposing player? Is it going to take like a full season?
No.
No.
I was like, let me see. I'm going to go
line, like Seth Allen still plays basketball in this league.
That's true. You know. I want to go like 5. As long as he makes it out unscathed in that Florida State game.
True.
That's always my fear.
Considering I think I have 20 pounds on him, I'm a little worried about his durability, particularly against FSU.
Yeah, it might be more than that, actually. I'm going to say like after the Villanova game. Yeah. And I know that's not a conference game, but that's on Fox. Yeah. That's like the first big like marquee matchup because with the, you know, Louisville, it's like the first game of the ACC play. You're not going to get too much, you know, like, I don't know how much personality you're going to get out of that one. But then like, as it goes, there's a lot of ACC network and like all that stuff. And then once you hit Villanova on Fox, I think he's going to be a contributor in that game with his shooting from the outside. And then you just really hit stride with Virginia Tech twice in 4 games. That's another one. Like this schedule, like, oh my God, it's insane. But
yeah, true. Sure. So with that schedule, what is your personal definition for success this season?
Man.
It's a tough question.
It is.
I asked the tough questions.
I think it was you that said in the roundtable, like, you know, with big boy success comes big boy expectations.
And, exactly.
I think that a Sweet 16 would be... First, I expect now to get a first round bye in the ACC. And I realize mm-hmm. how weird that is saying it out loud. Like mm-hmm. that to me, like they're going to be in the top 4. And I think that's happening. Or that's what we should expect year in and year out. Obviously finishing first is the goal, but that's tough to do in a league that could possibly get double digit teams into the tournament. Mm-hmm. But, I think, man, I think Sweet 16, anything into the Elite Eight would be, in a tournament like setting, like the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Really stuff past the Elite Eight is a crapshoot anyway, because it's so much of matchups and it's so much of any given day. And with that
who's
game,
hot, et cetera. Yeah.
And the game, like that was to me, but going into that game, I was like, this is the perfect scenario in which Syracuse finally gets their first ACC win over Virginia. Like the nothing to like, you know, you never know what team's going to do what and who you're going to run into on any given day. Yeah. And like the first Michigan State game, like that was just a really well-played basketball game that someone had to lose. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think Sweet 16 is a good indicator of consistent success.
Absolutely. Matt?
Yeah, I think I pretty much agree. I'm not – yeah, it's weird, but, I mean, Caroline sort of talked her way through every round of the NCAA tournament, so there's not
– go through. National championship or bust.
Yeah, right. We're there. No, I just want to be bowl eligible. I think a double bye in the ACC is a big thing. I would love that. And then if you're getting that double bye, that means that probably at worst you're a 4 seed in the NCAA. That just given how strong the league is year after year, that seems about right. So if you're looking at a top 4 seed in the NCAA tournament, I think a Sweet 16 is a reasonable expectation, and you hope that that someone upsets your one seed before you get there, like Michigan State does to us every year. so yeah, I agree.
Yeah, no, I think you guys hit the nail on the head. That should be the mark of consistent excellence, and it, you know, that's a synonym for what's on the banners all over the MQ Center, right? So let's go ahead and achieve that as a program, or make that the goal. I think, you know, it's sort of an unfair question. All this preseason prognostication, you know what I'm saying. Anyway.
Words are hard.
Yeah, it's late. Anyway, I think any of that is difficult to pen down correctly, because there's so many unknowns, but that's why we blog about it, right? Just a lot of new things. I think it's unfair to immediately assume those expectations at this point, but it is what we want to strive for. I think when you have an established program like Kansas or Duke, et cetera, those are fair expectations. Every year we're reloading, we're getting back to at least that point, or you know, hoping to be a top 10 team year in and year out. That's a fair expectation. It's not fair yet for Tony or the new guys, but it's something that I think it's okay for us to want to get to, and something that's, I think, still plausible and achievable for the team. So I think that's right about where we should put success. If they don't get there, though, I don't, you know, I'm hesitant to see all this like preseason number 8 stuff.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
You know, they could easily have a bunch of things not go their way, a few bumps here and there, and be like the ACC's 6th best team, you know? And that'll be weird, because it will be so much lower than we've grown recently accustomed to. I would hope that you would see plenty of patience in the Wahoo faithful if we do end up in that way. despite how blessed we've been recently with better results. So I don't know. I think it's awesome that there's a possibility to bring in all these new guys and still be considered a top 10 team for sure.
Yeah, it's nuts. I had something on one of those, you know, on this day and Facebook things that popped up or whatever. And I was excited about the also receiving votes category. So from like 5 years ago, where it's like, that's right, we're on the rise. Like,
such a big deal. And, yeah. Who real quick are you going with, like a breakout player? Maybe not the same answer, or maybe the same answer. I think we sort of jumped into that, but real quick, like, who's the new star in addition to London?
Isaiah Wilkins.
Yeah.
He played really well in the scrimmage, and I think that he's going to be he's worked on his shot, it looked like, and I think that his ability to play like a stretch four or match up with other team stretch fours, hopefully. it's that kid from Wake Forest, I swear. Is he graduating yet?
Don't they have another Serbian guy who's 6'11 and can shoot threes?
Probably. I think Toby still wakes up and is like, oh gosh, like he just made another three over me. But I think Isaiah has a chance to really contribute, and I think he's the only, like, he's one of the three. I think everyone expects him to start with Austin and London. And then the other two being filled in out of a collection of Mariel and Devin and Kyle Guy. But I'm going to go with Isaiah. I think he's poised to have a really, really big year. And I think he's been a pretty good leader in the off season. Like, he's a guy that people respect on the team. So.
Thanks. How about you, Matt?
I'm going to go with Shayok. I think...
You stole mine.
again, I'm just... I have the right answers. It makes things just so much easier.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, there's obviously a big scoring gap on the wing with Malcolm leaving. And we'll get some of those points from inside. Some of those will come from London. But I think Shayok has shown flashes every year. His shot's gotten a little bit better. He's gotten better at finishing when he gets to the basket, and he's good at getting to the basket. I'd be way more confident in this if I believed that he could shoot free throws consistently.
Shayok split. He did make 10 out of 10 at the scrimmage before while warming up, I will say.
That's wonderful.
Important.
Yeah. it's great. I was really good at free throws. But you know, if he can get a little bit more consistent there, and if he can refine his dribble a little bit, because he's still dribbling so high, that terrifying. Oh my God.
So scary.
But if he works on those two, I really think he has all the tools to really be a dynamic offensive player, and I think he'll take the step forward this year out of necessity, if nothing else.
All right. Well, we haven't done any defending of yourself, so let's get to it. But I don't, you know, we haven't really said anything about the basketball team that really needs to be defended. I mean, we're all just sort of optimistic and hoping for the best and guessing here. So that usually leads us to argue about food. And I'm curious as to what are your go-to pizza toppings. And we're going to start with Matt this time. Matt, when you're ordering your pizza, it's not for sharing necessarily. What do you order on it?
Jalapeno and pepperoni.
Ugh,
no, that's great. No, yeah, that's...
Defend yourself. That's just
No, that's amazing.
Yeah, Caroline over here just not wanting ketchup on her hot dogs.
I'm hesitant. I'm hesitant to ask Darns.
It's gonna be. Hold on. Can I guess?
Yeah.
Everyone, make your.
It's either straight cheese or she likes ham and pineapple.
Okay, Pierce, your guesses.
Nah, I mean those are those strong guesses, but nah, I'm not gonna pretend to come up with whatever gross answer.
But it's I like green pepper and sausage.
Okay, that's not that bad. That was anticlimactic.
Don't put fruit on a pizza. That's
are you pro dipping your pizza in ranch?
I'd have to be pro ranch first. Ew.
Oh, okay. So we found this the awful opinion of yours. I knew if I kept prodding.
What is the Jim Gaffigan joke where he says it's made of all that's in ranch is buttermilk and sadness?
It's so good, particularly on pizza.
Yeah,
especially with pepperoni and green peppers is my favorite. So we sort of got to call.
See, I go back and forth. I can also do pepperoni and green peppers. Yeah.
What's your favorite pizza in Charlottesville?
Ooh,
no pressure.
I know. I think. Oh man. I really like Christian's pizza. And if I go to Christian's, I do just get cheese. It's not fair because my favorite pizza is Frank's. Do you remember Frank's?
Of course I remember Frank's. Monday night. They're the reason I got a D in astronomy my first semester. It's because
Frank's
pizza special conflicted with the once a week lecture on Monday night.
So that place was Matt, who's like 12 years old now. So
what the hell is Frank's?
So you know that uppity Basil or Basil or whatever on the
Basil.
Basil. Mediterranean cuisine used to be an amazing pizza place that served the biggest pizzas in the entire universe. Order a medium, and the thing was the size of a house. And you'd call, and the guy would answer, and be like, "Frank's." And order this pizza and go pick it up.
So you called and he said the name of the restaurant and that was
It was quite legitimately like a $5 large pepperoni and a 2 liter. My first year of college.
I won't eat at Basil because of it. Like I know they didn't force him out, that they like sold the place to those people, but I was like so sad and heartbroken. I was like, I can't go in here if it's not Frank's.
Well, I'm glad you're not. Not that Frank's was like super quality, but it was cheap and tasty.
So good.
But I'm glad you're not on here gushing about Gumby's because that pizza was disgusting.
No.
And Matt doesn't know what Gumby's is either.
Good mellow mushroom.
I don't know what it is.
Mellow is pretty decent. Matt, what's your favorite pizza in Charlottesville?
I'll go College Inn because they delivered until 3 a.m. and I needed to.
Yeah, that pizza, not very good. Sorry, College Inn fans who are listening.
It's not, but...
The gyros there, though, delicious.
What word did you just try to say?
I said, you want me to say gyro?
Gyros? Gyros?
Gyro.
I think it's gyro.
Gyro? Gyro?
Gyros?
It's not gyro, I know that... I'm not surprised Dorrance pronounces it gyro.
Don't.
All right.
Evolving quickly.
I feel like I've attacked you for many things here.
Yeah.
This
food is just such an easy topic.
It truly
I think
is.
I think that Pita Pit shut down because I stopped school there. Like, I graduated and then it shut down. I think I kept that place in business for 4 years.
Yeah.
I would have Pita Pit like 3 times a week.
Yeah, that chicken Caesar, it was good.
So good. Well, and right. Arches, like, it's just not the same anymore.
Well, if you haven't turned off the podcast already, make sure you tune in Friday night, the Hoos take on the Spartans of UNC Greensboro Friday night. So
yeah, check out all the countdown. We've had 30 days of coverage on streakingthelaw.com.
Go back and read. All 30 days.
All 30 pieces. There's actually more than 30. There's a couple days ahead. So go back and brush up in case you were curious by anything. And yeah.
I'm getting an update from my sources that gyro is the correct pronunciation. I'm pretty sure my sources are drunk. And or wrong.
No, right.
But you got any parting shots, Matt, for your listeners?
We're going to lose to Miami this weekend. And it's yeah, they have a real coach now. It's not fun.
Yeah, but they haven't been doing too hot, though.
Yeah.
This could be a real slap fight.
It's going to be close, and then Kurt's going to see a man downfield, decide that's not his guy, and throw in a triple cover.
So you're just completely off the curve.
No, he's always said for Heisman in 2017. Yeah. He has to go through this downturn to really realize his potential.
To find himself.
If you've watched any good Disney movie, they start off good, and then they become slightly villainous, and then they return later on to fulfill the prophecy.
Or if it's like The Big Green, then they're just really bad, and then they become good.
So adorably young, Matt. The Big Green is fantastic.
Is Steve Guttenberg the coach in that?
Okay, all right. Shut it down. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back soon to talk about hopefully the string of wins for the basketball season. the string of football wins. Maybe we'll preview the Virginia Tech game if we don't have enough depressing things to talk about some other time. But until then, tune into Streaking the Lawn for all the preview good stuff, and leave some comments if you want to join the conversation with us. And go Hoos!